Hello, and welcome to our Children's Rights in Action podcast series. Here at Children's Parliament, we believe that children should grow up in a world of love, happiness, and understanding. It's our mission to inspire greater awareness and understanding of the power of children's human rights, and to support the implementation of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, the UNCRC, into Scots law. We're looking forward to sharing this with you through our conversations. We hear about everyday unfairness through all sorts of channels. Sometimes we might spot it on social media and highlight it ourselves. Sometimes we hear snippets or wee vignettes of unfairty practice when we're in meetings or listening to other people present at workshops and conferences. Sometimes we've even found unfairtiness while sat on a train from Edinburgh to London. We promise you, unfairties are everywhere. We discovered today's guests through a bit of a game of broken telephone, where every so often the name PC Derek would pop up and we'd hear a little bit more each time about the outdoor youth club in Aberdeen and the fantastic impact it's made for the children and young people in their community. Today, we're delighted to have found and be able to welcome PC Derek Bain, Hannah Clues and Sarah Dunn to share their unfairness with us in the development of Maastricht Youth Club in a Tesco car park in Aberdeen. Hello there, my name is Jess and I am the Communications and Campaigns Manager here at Children's Parliament. In today's episode of Children's Rights in Action, I am joined by PC Derek Bain, Hannah Clues and Sarah Dunn to hear more about the Maastricht Youth Club in Aberdeen, Scotland's first outdoor youth club. Derek, Hannah and Sarah, thank you so much for agreeing to join me today. Could I please invite you to introduce yourselves?
Absolutely. So I'm Derek Bain. I work for Police Scotland as a partnership development officer and I cover Aberdeen City.
Hi, good morning. My name's Hannah Clues and I'm the Street Sport Development Manager for the Dennis Law Legacy Trust.
Good morning, I'm Sarah. I'm the Early Intervention Worker for Police Scotland covering Aberdeen City, but I am also one of the youth workers at the Hub as well.
Fab, thanks gang. So I wondered if you were able to please tell me just a little bit about where the idea for the Outdoor Youth Hub came from, please.
Want me to go first, ladies? Yeah. Okay, so this came about through some youth antisocial behaviour at the Tesco store. We calculated that we had just under 600 youth-related incidents over the period of a year, which is a huge amount of incidents for police to manage. And bearing in mind they have a whole community, you know, to police, it was taking up a lot of resource, not just from police, but also from fire and rescue, who had to attend whenever the alarm was set off or there was a fire set. I did a bit of preventative spend costing and it cost the public purse, and these are not hard and fast figures, but around about £150,000 to police that small area for a year. And because it had an impact on the community and also on the police's ability to police that entire community, then we had to get some form of solution to it. And that's kind of my role. So my role is to get partners, like-minded individuals round the table and discuss solutions. We're way past that sort of place in the world where you know, one organisation does everything. We have to share the workload in order for it to be manageable. So that's kind of where it was born out of. The solution started with a traditional police response, which is more boots on the ground to try and catch the young people who were causing the issues, deal with them, you know, through the youth justice management here in Police Scotland. We also had an engagement part to it. Now, the young people themselves wouldn't engage with the police, so we had to reach out to some youth workers to come and find out simple things. What do you get from hanging about this area? So the answer was they got shelter in the foyer of the store and they got free Wi-Fi. Not a big ask. There were some who asked, you know, why don't they just do that at home? That's when you have to have an understanding, what is home life like? You know, is it safe for them at home? Are they safer in the community? You know, or is it just a case of they want to hang out with their mates? You know, so not a big ask. From that, I reached out to Stuart, who's a manager at Tesco, a wonderful human being. He has a similar upbringing to some of these young people. So he was bought in from the get-go. Reached out to the council for a youth work provision and got some funding. I think the initial funding cost £11,500. So we put a seating area underneath the delivery ramp, so it's sheltered. We've got free Wi-Fi, and you'll see from the pictures that I sent, the young people themselves have painted the mural. So we get a French guy called Mark, who has a company called Fresh Paint, and he teaches the young people from scratch how to, you know, compose a picture, if you like. But that's probably where Sarah comes in, because she was more involved in that side of things.
Yeah, so to get the engagement with the young people, I worked with the local schools to the Maastricht area, who allowed me to go in and engage with some of the young people who were always hanging about the Tesco store. It was very informal, it was just conversations around, like Derek says, why they hang about, what they get from it. But it was that chance for us to make that better for them. So it was very much their voice. We were just helping support their ideas and helping that come to life. So I'd been up quite a few times with one of the other youth workers, and we just got to know them a bit and for them to get to know us. And we got the idea for the Space Jam mural to come to life. So again, we invited Mark in and he was able to sit and draw that all out so that they could see their voices being heard. And again, arranging the day for them to go up and do the mural. And the big selling point for that was that they got their lunch bought and paid for it as well. So that was, I think, their favourite part of the day. From there, because we had good engagement, I was able to keep going up to get more ideas. What did they want? What equipment did they want? How did they want the setup of the night to run? And again, it was just us supporting their ideas for their community. So it was really good engagement from them. The mural has lasted so well. I think with them putting in the work to getting it done, they've got their names all on it, so they'll always know it was them that created that legacy for their area as well. So it was a really good piece of work that was done.
And I suppose as well, as I'm listening to you both speak, there's something, isn't there, in that about how important the relationships that you're developing with the children are, and what that impact has had on the community in building that sense of this is a place for them, and a place where they can influence and impact, which just feels fabulous, and possibly a different vibe to how it might have been, or how it might have felt in the scenario that you were talking about at the beginning, Derek.
Yeah, I think just using statistics as a barometer, the first year of operation, those 600 incidents fell to 12 in a year, and then the second year of operation it's gone down to 7, and that, I think that just shows, if you listen to your young people and you try and within, you know, whatever confines there are, whether they're budgetary or whatever, if you can give them what it is they're asking for, you see the difference. I think, Sarah, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we started off with about 15, 20 young people, and now we regularly have sort of 40, 45 come along. Parents are dropping their kids off, which tells us that they feel it's a safe space.
Yeah, absolutely. The numbers they do vary week to week. Everything influences that, whether it's school holidays or the weather or just anything and everything can influence that. But yeah, there are some nights that we do get 40 and 50 young people, which is, yeah, it's very busy. But again, Hannah has a great relationship with all the young people because of the street sports sessions that are across the city. So everyone and their parents know Hannah in street sport, which is obviously really good as well. So yeah, if you're on side with Hannah, you're on side with them as well.
Maybe just come in to say about the street sport program that we run, which we've been running in partnership with Robert Gordon University since 2006 as a diversion tactics initiative. So the opportunity to partner with Police Scotland and with the council to provide activities in that area was really important to us and something that we tried there before, but it didn't quite work out due to the real high level of youth annoyance was beyond sort of our team's capabilities. But yeah, going in with this new approach has definitely helped us. And as a programme, we are deployed across different areas of the city that also face high levels of youth annoyance. It's been a real good kind of testing ground for new activities and different ways of working. So for us as a charity, it's been a really important partnership project that's influenced the wider charity. A bit more about the sort of idea behind street sports. We have to have an attractive offer, the space there that Derek and the team and the young people themselves have created does make it attractive. And then it's just going in and building those relationships, working with them and finding out what activities do they want to do. Never before have we tried making slime out in the communities and what else have we done, Sarah? We've made stress balls, we've decorated Valentine's cookies, we've done so much stuff, but it is from the young people and what they want and just sort of working with them to guide what we actually run beyond just sport. That will always be an attractive offer for some young people, but particularly this session, there's a really good gender split. So we need to be on our toes, making sure that we're doing lots of different things to keep them interested and engaged. Because essentially, it is a car park that we're using. It's not, AstroTurf and things which we have the benefit of using in other communities.
Yeah, we're always making a mess. I think that's the main thing there. It's always messy sessions, water balloon fights in the summer and stuff like that. But yeah, it's always good fun.
And I wonder as well, because sorry, my brain is like buzzing in 10,000 different directions. So I heard about this through like word of mouth, but almost like whispers. Everybody was like, oh, you've got to talk to Derek, PC Derek. That's, it's this fantastic youth hub that's evolved up in Aberdeen and it's in this Tesco car park. It's definitely in a car park. But I think there's just something. They're so wonderful about the different people that have been involved, the different community roles that have been brought into this project, and the different ways, I suppose, as well for children to see actually that there are different roles in the community that are there to support them and are engaged with them and are interested in what they want. And you've got that really all important feedback loop that the children are telling you what it is that they're looking for or what they need, and you're going, yeah, okay, grand. Like, how do we make that happen? And working with them as opposed to it being something that's done to them. The Space Jam mural is just fantastic. But I wondered a little bit, I'm about to ask you, how has it evolved? Because I know now that the Youth Hub has really been going about 3 years. And I think it started in 2020 or kicked off around about there.
Kicked off's probably the right phrase. So... yeah, but it took us round about sort of 9-10 months to do the engagement work to find out what the young people wanted. But then once they told us that, to get funding in place and then to build the seating area. So I come at things probably from a policing perspective, tip my hat to youth workers. They have skill sets I will never have. So we had to get a seating area built. But because of previous behaviours, we had to make sure that it was vandal proof almost. So it's pretty much made from angle iron. It's a sort of U-shaped bench. It has, I think, about 20 legs, and each one of them is concreted into the ground, so they can't take it away. That's the sort of thought processes in my head. But now I said I might do a bit of a Billy Connolly and sort of drift away and come back. So it was just some of the things that Sarah had said around the engagement work. So I'd mentioned boots on the ground, so extra police officers but that doesn't tend to solve an issue. All it does is disperses it. But the cops that were involved in it were getting a wee bit agitated because the sort of leaders of this group of young people had strategically placed young people at corners, and they were WhatsApping each other, so they knew where the cops were at any given time. And I can understand why that would be frustrating, but from my perspective, I saw that as leadership skills. So it's about harnessing that and getting them to use it in a more positive sort of format. Somebody mentioned food. So we feed them every week. I went up once. Generally, if I go, I man the barbecue just so Colin doesn't burn stuff. Colin's one of the other youth workers. He likes everything charcoaled. So I had this young lad, and he'd come up for thirds. And I'd sort of said, well, you know, some people are still waiting for their first burger, sausage, whatever. I said, have you not just had your tea? He said, yes. I said, so what did you have for your tea? He said, I had a wrap. I said, oh, and what was in the wrap? He says, oh, we had some crisps. And that kind of makes you think, you know, what home life is like for them. So he got thirds. Because I'm a big softie, really. And now I can't remember what your question was.
That was great. It was going to be actually really around that kind of but I appreciate that the three of you do have very community-based roles anyway, and you did to start off with, and that is really how you engaged with the hub from the beginning. But I wondered if there's been any changes to your roles as the hub has developed and evolved itself, because I do appreciate this has been a very different approach to how your roles might have looked like before. And if you have any reflections on that.
I think it certainly had a bearing on my role. I mean, I fielded calls, Teams meetings, emails from the north of England to the north of Scotland around this. And as you say, it's clearly a case of sort of whispers and word has got out, and people are saying, you know, oh, this might be a good idea. And I think if you look at the statistics, not only from the sort of benefit to the people who work, live and visit that area, but the youth annoyance hasn't been sort of dispersed into the wider community. It's just stopped. We've got three young people who previously were not on education, returned to education. That's a huge win. We've got 12 young people who've got Saltire Awards for volunteering. You know, that's a turnaround in behaviour, you know, to the nth degree. Behaviours at the hub, I probably not the person to speak about that, but Hannah and Sarah can probably fill that picture for you.
Yeah, we've had some interesting challenges when it comes to behaviour. But I guess it's been a benefit to me as well, working alongside Sarah. We're on the same page, and I think that sort of approach where we're all joined up working has really helped. And you know, it by nature, you know, you're expecting a little bit of challenging behaviour. We're going into their communities. I mean, the sessions themselves, I'll be honest, they're pretty chaotic. They have that sort of like freedom there, which, you know, brings that sort of challenge. But yeah, I think, yeah, the main thing is like being able to work together. Just we have Derek keeps us on our toes by, you know, organising meetings outside just the session. So we get a chance to actually discuss some proactive approaches. And mainly it does come through accepting that there's going to be challenging behaviours, giving young people lots and lots of chances, but putting those boundaries in place and kind of getting the buy-in around what behaviours are expected and almost getting the young people to police that themselves, which definitely helps when we have young people that are volunteering and are giving back and are sort of taking on those leadership roles at the sessions. Don't know if that, does that, I don't know, Sarah, you feed in as well?
No, absolutely. I think that completely describes like how we all work. But this was new for us as well, that there was so many different organisations who have their own policies and procedures on how to deal with things. So when this all started, you know, there was that time where it was like teething issues for staff as well, because it's like, oh well, in our organisation this is how we would deal with it, and we were all different. So we as staff had to communicate as much as possible. So even still, we're 2-3 years down the line, every Thursday at the end of the session we still have a debrief, so we can say, well, this worked, this doesn't work, just so we know going forward, is that the best way of dealing with it? I think that is sometimes like the most important part as well, because if we're not communicating, then we can't be giving the young people the best from the session. So yeah, that's, you know, that was definitely one of the things that's helped as well, is just being able to speak to each other and have these weekly or fortnightly meetings for it, just being staff, so we can say, right, well, this is coming up, how do we plan for this, what young people can we get involved, and how can we work better together as well. So yeah, the behaviours have certainly been challenging, but just having that communication with each other's also really, really helped, and obviously it's helped us work better together as well.
Absolutely. And I think as well, you know, I'm also reflecting on the numbers of children that you've said of coming and the fact that people are returning, and I'm thinking of, so there are a number of news articles, funnily enough, about the hub that I'm going to be attaching to this podcast episode, but one of them has this short video, and there's a young girl who talks about, you know, it's wonderful that they have activities that they can do and things to do, because before they were just hanging around, they wanted to see their friends, but now there's stuff actually for them, and I do wonder about, I don't know, I'm sure there will be research and there'll be loads of impact assessments on this, but I was thinking, we did a project in the Western Isles during COVID lockdown, and so it was all online that we were developing these relationships with the children, and we were looking to find out, so the Western Isles Council wanted to know what mental health support services children might want in their local area, and one of the biggest things that came back was that they wanted places outside where they could just go and meet their friends and that they'd be safe. And they didn't really want anything. I mean, don't get me wrong, there were lots of other, there was some fantastic calls to action around what the support could look like in school and what the support could look like at home. But their big ones in the community were that they just wanted a space that felt for them. And I think that everybody wants to belong, don't they? And how we build those spaces and work together is so important, whether that's on a staff side of being the adults who are helping to create these spaces, or the child or young person side, where it, you know, you get to experience them from the other way. And so with that in mind, thinking about if there are other adults who might be in similar scenarios or also interested in organizing something a wee bit similar for their own communities, I wondered if you have any kind of key learning that you've taken from being part of the Outdoor Youth Hub's journey that you might like to share, please.
I think from my perspective, it's about listening to the young people, but also managing their expectations from the get-go. So it's about saying, well, you may not get everything, but we'll get you what we can. But I think you hit the nail on the head. when you create something that has been designed by the young person, it does give them a sense of place. You know, it gives them a sense of belonging, a sense of community, and you can see that. I've popped in the chat here the second mural that's been done. Mm-hmm. So it's a Pokemon theme, and you'll see there is a container, and it's been painted as well, a sort of wraparound thing. And for me, this has been the success, as well as the young people, what it's done for their self-esteem, you know, for their well-being, their mental health, is the community or communities in Aberdeen have come together to make this happen. So the container you see in that picture, I sent out some emails to some companies. One of them had an old container that wasn't fit for purpose, so they were going to get rid of it. How was I get it from their place to the hub? Well, that involved me sending out more emails to haulage companies. It turns out that a family friend owns a haulage company, so he took the container up. There's a construction company building flats in the neighbourhood. We got them to take a forklift truck, and they manoeuvred it into place. And obviously Tesco, we had to ask them if it was okay to have that. So you've got five different organisations all coming together for the benefit of, and they're all small things that are being offered, but they make such a huge difference. So yeah, I guess for me, it's about coming together. It's about that people factor. And when you get the right people around the table, you can make huge differences.
That's really fab. Thank you. I'm very aware of time and keeping you guys any longer than I originally promised. Sarah and Hannah, is there anything else that you might like to add before we finish up for today?
Yeah, I would just say, on the advice for other adults or organisations looking to run something, I wouldn't be scared of having everything all singing, all dancing, like we've just previously discussed. Like they don't always want a lot. They just want that safe space. And if it starts off as just a picnic table and, you know, offering some hot chocolate or doing, you know, some minimal kit activities. I mean, we've done just random quizzes and things that we've used our phones for, like a game of heads up, they'll enjoy. And then just building it from there. So yeah, it has led to, you know, the night somewhere doing like big barbecues and things like that. That's when you get even more people involved. But yeah, week to week, yeah, don't be scared that you're not off, the offer isn't good enough and there's not enough going on, because yeah, they don't always want a lot. And then when you've got them there, you can build it from yeah, who you have, and it's, you know, then you know it's genuinely what they want. And then when you do provide more, it's obviously something that can be taken away if the behavior is poor. So some nights, you know, they'll just get basic hot chocolate, where if it's good the week before, they'll get cream and syrup and marshmallows. So just like little things like that, I think, and listening especially important. But yeah, I think that's my main advice.
Yeah, I agree with Hannah, obviously Derek as well, but I think if you are looking for something like that, don't be afraid to try it. You know, it probably will always work in some way or another, but every aspect might not come together the way you think it will, but that's totally all right, because the young people, you know, we've got loads of different age ranges, between 8 and 17 attending, and they all come with their own ideas and their own personalities that make the sessions. So if you give it to them, they try and plan and obviously support them through that, they come up with amazing things to do. So definitely don't be scared to try things, because yeah, the young people always make it work one way or another. It just might not be the way you thought it was going to go.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you all so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear more about the Outdoor Youth Hub project. If anybody is looking for more information after listening to us, I'm going to make sure that the articles from the Press and Journal will be linked into the episode bio, and I'll also put the Dennis Law Legacy Trust website, Hannah, so that, because I appreciate the hub is on the locations page of that, so I'll make sure that that's easy for them to find as well. So really, other than that, it's just thank you ever so much, and I look forward to being in touch with you all again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you ever so much for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about our work, please visit www.childrensparliament.org.uk.